our beautiful Savior gave us a model for leadership. We call that the servanthood model of leadership. And the Christian leader in residence that we have invited to our campus for these few days and to honor represents that model of servanthood in his life. If there were words to characterize his life, they would be love in action, justice, mercy, compassion. You will not see his name perhaps on bulletin boards, nor does he lead a large corporation. But behind the scenes in so many areas for Christian righteousness and justice in this country is Mr. Gerald Van de Zandt. Officially, he wears the title as National Public Affairs Director of Citizens for Public Justice, an organization devoted to promoting Christian justice in the public area. But Mr. Van de Zandt is to be found in so many other areas. When the abortion debate was taking place in Ottawa, the night before the vote, Mr. Van de Zandt was in Ottawa phoning members of Parliament to try and persuade them to vote the right way on the abortion issue. He heads up a movement called Fairness for Families to give better legislation for the protection of Christian and other families in our land. When Bob Rae's government was elected in Ontario, one of the first things they did is to turn to Mr. Van de Zandt to seek advice on Sunday shopping laws. And behind the scenes, he has had more impact than all of the public servants and cabinet ministers in the drafting of that legislation from a Christian perspective. When he came here this weekend, he was immediately contacted by a couple of cabinet ministers in the new government so that they could draw upon his immense wisdom and advice on how they should act in the years ahead of the new government. It is such a leader that it is our privilege to honor. And it goes back a long way in his life, when he began as a young boy of 11 as part of the Dutch resistance movement in the Second World War, working behind the scenes, putting his own life in jeopardy to save the Jewish people from certain death in the gas chambers. That impression and that sacrifice has been symptomatic of his life throughout all of his career. And it is our privilege as a Christian university to honor such a man who has had such an impact on our country. Gerald, will you please join me as I would like to present to you 1991 Christian Leader in Residence Award in recognition of your outstanding contribution to our country, to our community, and of course, to the Church of Jesus Christ, where you serve and we all work together.
Thank you, Don. That's how I know him. I accept this award with deep thankfulness to my God and my Savior, who has kept me in an unfailing way despite the times that I failed and wasn't as faithful as I could and should have been. I also accept this award on behalf of the many Christians who have so faithfully helped me to become a better servant of the kingdom of God. I think of my parents, first of all, my brothers, my wife and children, my in-laws, my friends such as Don and Brian Stiller, Paul Marshall, and many, many others who stood by me and whose biblical insights, whose life experience, whose friendship and support were always there, particularly when I faced some very difficult situations. But above all, it was the revelation in Christ that gave me hope, that gave me joy, that gave me perspective, and that enabled me to persevere by the grace of God's Spirit. There are numerous passages in the Scripture that daily speak to me, or that flash through my mind on occasions like this, or when I speak, or when I act in various capacities seeking to promote public justice in our pluralistic society. But one passage that is at the heart of my conviction, and that spoke to me early in life, a passage that was preached on in the darkest hours during World War II, and that gave us hope, was Jesus' words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." As well as a passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which tells us that indeed we know what it is to fear the Lord, and therefore we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Those passages, those truths from the Scriptures, time and again affirm to me very personally that Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life, is the resurrection, and that there is no other way, that there is no other way of life that is truthful, and that speaks of and gives evidence of the Spirit of the resurrection. And that all other ways outside of Jesus are ways of death and destruction. Not only during Nazi-occupied Europe, when we saw the forces of evil taking people to concentration camps and gas chambers, but also in our own society, when the devilish ideologies of all the isms of our time, ranging from individualism to collectivism, from conservatism to socialism, isms that should become wasms and in many respects already are, isms that are rooted in evil and in death, that in the face of them we need to remember that Christ is the way of life. And precisely because he is, that now, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, which for me means that even our worst opponents must be viewed from the perspective of Jesus' invitation that we love our neighbors, including our enemies, and that we do not regard them as opponents, but as people who also are created in God's image, for whom Christ also died, and to whom we are to extend the message of reconciliation, to whom we are to be ministers of reconciliation in each and area and aspect of life. That has meant for me, when engaging in political discussions on the Hill in Ottawa, or with people who in non-government settings were strongly advocating radical pro-abortion views, that I was not to view them as the enemy in the gate, but as a person who too, by the grace of God, could be gained for the perspective of a way of life that would include protection for the unborn and for the social support that desperate mothers are entitled to in order to bring their children up with dignity and respect. Regard no one from a worldly point of view included corporations that were only occupied with the maximization of profit and didn't really worry about the environment, God's good creation, didn't worry about the native people, but only were obsessed with the acquisition of more and more wealth. But when we talked with corporation executives, I time and again reminded myself of the fact that I am not to regard that person with that individualistic, materialistic ideology from a worldly point of view, but that we are, as new creatures in Christ, to regard them from the perspective of the gospel and from Jesus, who gave his life so that he could pay for the sins of all of humanity, also for the sins of individualism and materialism and all the other isms, so that people could be set free from the bondage of sin, from the yoke of bondage, and could live as liberated servants also in the corporate sector. regard no one from a worldly point of view. Also, when I confronted trade union leaders with whom I often worked together in other contexts, such as trying to get decent anti-Sunday shopping legislation, but who in different situations would exclude Christian workers who couldn't in good conscience join their unions because they were required to pledge an oath of unconditional obedience to principles that were clearly in violation of the Christian gospel. By the grace of God, through the mercy of His Spirit, I could look them in the eye and not regard them from a worldly point of view. I could add to the list. It's not what I did, but it's only a testimony to what God in Jesus Christ revealed to me from the Scriptures, through the outpouring of His Spirit, through the powerful preaching of pastors, through friends and neighbors and brothers and parents, and above all, a wife who really, genuinely, piously prays daily for me, for herself, and for our children and grandchildren, and taught me more about what it is to walk with the Lord than anyone else. Unfortunately, she can't be here because she's at the bedside of her brother who is suffering from cancer. But Winifred, in her genuine commitment to Jesus, was a powerful model of what it is to be a servant in every situation. And so today I want to thank publicly, in the presence of this Christian community, my God, who was faithful in the darkest hours of World War II, who gave me the vision and the wisdom to act on behalf of people like the poor, the unborn, suffering women, the native people, also on behalf of God's good creation, which is often being exploited and bleeds from hundreds of wounds because people are so careless. It is the God of the Scriptures. It is the Jesus of the kingdom. It is Jesus who gave us, you and me, together the message and the ministry of reconciliation to be a healing presence in a hurting world. And I want to tell you that Jesus actually does make a difference. When you faithfully share the good news, when you, by the grace of God, try to articulate as best you can an alternative perspective on law and public policies and human rights and environment, people then begin to inquire, what is the hope that lives within you? And they begin to read you as a letter written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God. And they ask you about the hope that lives within you. And then I have seen people who used to be radical pro-abortionists change their mind not only on the abortion question, but also have surrendered their lives to Jesus. I have seen all kinds of people change their views and ways of life because the grace of God's Spirit and the wisdom of His might began to work in their lives. Let's not assume that God's mighty acts in human history closed with the end of the writing of the book of Acts, but God continues to act in history. To the degree that you and I and all of us together and Christians throughout the world become living evidence of God's gracious Spirit at work in human history, to that degree, God is adding to His powerful revelation that Jesus is alive and that by the grace of God's Spirit, thousands, millions can be added to God's kingdom because God's saving Spirit is at work in human history. And you and I can then be ambassadors of the good news, agents of reconciliation, and can demonstrate that there is a generation alive that wants to serve the Lord. I'm pleased to be a Trinity Western. I wish I could stay. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It has done me good to be here for a day and a half, even though people work you hard. But it's the Spirit within which you can come to rest. And that I want to leave you with. In the book of Revelation, that just flashed through my mind, there is the number of the beast, 666. That's the number of the ideologies of our time. People who find no rest and who want to work hard to earn their own salvation, to progress, to prosper, to become wealthy and powerful. But it doesn't matter how hard you work and slave, all you can do is add a 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, but it never becomes a 7. But if you rest in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation, if you rest in the Prince of Peace, the number 7, then you can do your work, you can engage in studies, you can do your research, you can do your public advocacy, and you don't have to be ill at ease because you rest in the spirit of the number 7, the peace of Christ. May Trinity Western, may you and as members of the faculty and students of this body be evidence of the peace in the spirit of Jesus. May you go out as the number 7s in the world, engaging those who are in the grip of 666, and invite them in the kingdom of the number 7, Jesus. May God be with you.
I'd just like to speak on behalf of the students when I say thank you. It's encouraging for us to see people who are out there doing the kind of thing that we're here being trained to do. And you're an example for us to follow, and we thank you for speaking to us. I'd encourage people here who are poli-sci students or who are just interested in hearing more to come at 1:10 today and hear about what he's doing. He's presented already twice to the Parliamentary Committee on Constitutional Reform, has been invited to present a third time. So I think we can really learn from him there. Could we thank him once again for speaking to us today?
Just before chapel began today, I was talking with Gerald, and he suggested that we sing a song that's familiar to all of us to close. And so we'd like to stand and sing the first verse of Shine, Jesus, Shine, and the chorus twice, and then we'll wait.
For the light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark, is shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory.
Thank you very much for coming to chapel.